Grace to you, peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a strange day. The service that everyone expects on Christmas Eve is tonight. But right now, it really isn't the eve, short for evening. It's Advent 4. Church festivals are a bit like the Jewish day. There was evening and there was morning, as Genesis records it. The new day starts at sundown, which gives us just enough time to sneak in a small meditation on how we get to Christmas. Part of the story is King David. If you read his story, it's mostly in 1 and 2 Samuel, although you get the duplicate in Chronicles. You realize that David really wanted to build the temple. He moved the ark to Jerusalem. He secured the site. He laid aside vast amounts of materials. David was really into this building project. And he calls in the prophet Nathan to bless it. And maybe Nathan gets a little ahead of himself. He talks out of turn. How could God object to this? Go do it, David. But God does. The word came to Nathan, go back and tell the king, oops, I made a mistake. But the more important parts that Nathan was told to tell him are the promises. And at least in my reading of it, there are a couple of them. The larger promise is what our text today wants us to focus upon. The Lord will make you a house. Your kingdom shall be forever. The part that our Old Testament reading leaves out. And again, the interesting parts tend to be in between the ellipses. But the part it leaves out says a couple of other things. The first being that an immediate son of David, one who shall come from your own body, shall build a house for my name. That would be Solomon. But we know, as great as Solomon was, that his throne would not even pass securely to his own son. But God continues saying that he will have a son, that I will be a father to him, and he shall be to me a son. And that son would have the stripes of man, and that the steadfast love of God would never depart from him. And in that one, the kingdom is secure. Sure, Solomon builds the temple, but the house of God comes later. And that's where Luke picks things up. It's entirely possible, maybe even probable, that Mary herself is a descendant of David. But the emphasis in Luke is that Joseph, her betrothed, is of the house of David. Of course, that house can be hardly said to exist if he's a carpenter in Nazareth. But the promise was that God would build a house for David. A house with an eternal throne and an heir that God would be the father of. And that's exactly what Gabriel is there to announce. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. The materials for the true temple of God were not cedar and stone. Nothing that David had set aside or that Solomon himself would procure. The temple of God would be conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. The materials being flesh and blood. And not our sinful flesh and blood, because Jesus is a new creation. And I'm stealing this line from Luther, who notices that God delights in making things in new ways, including humans. Adam is made from soil and has life breathed into him. Eve is made a new way. She is fashioned out of Adam. And the rest of us are made yet a third way. As Paul would say in Acts 17, he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the entire face of the earth. Yet here is a fourth way that God has created man. The virgin would conceive and bear a son. The Holy Spirit would come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And what God creates in His new ways is always holy. What God creates is good. And it's this Jesus who is the son of Adam by the body of Mary. He's the son of David by the marriage to Joseph. The son of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And is the house built by God Himself. This Jesus is the fulfillment of every thread and promise. The only question is, do we believe it? Do we believe the word of the angel? And that may be the greater question here. God has already demonstrated that He could create humans in three ways. What's one more way? But faith? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. But the story of Israel is not really one of the triumph of faith. And even the most recent announcement by this angel Gabriel, that of the nativity of John the Baptist to Zechariah, Zechariah sees the angel before the throne in the Holy of Holies and he doesn't believe him. And in our cynical age, we might be tempted to take Mary's first response as disbelief. How will this be, since I am a virgin? But unlike Gabriel's swift response to Zechariah's unbelief, sealing his tongue for 9 months, Gabriel takes Mary's question in a different way. I'd put it as faith seeking understanding. The ancients weren't dummies, neither was Mary. She knew how babies were made. She also believed that that was simply the way God worked. If God was going to do a new thing, how would this work? And Gabriel, as God often does when you have honest questions coming out of faith, condescends to answer in the best way possible. There are two parts to the angel's answer. The first is an absolutely doctrinal part. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. This is the type of thing captured in the creeds. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. Or in greater detail by the Nicene Creed, God of God, light of light, begotten not made, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary. The doctrine is given both as something to believe and as the sign itself. The prophets foretold that the virgin would conceive and bear a son, and here he is. The doctrine is just the bedrock reality revealed to us, the way God made things. We can reject it, we can live apart from it, but our actions have no effect upon the doctrine's truth. Mary was seeking understanding and was given the doctrine. The second thing that Mary was given, though, was someone to carry the load with. Behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. Now, Elizabeth had done this in the normal way, in the way that God had done before with Sarah and Hannah and others. But it was still something miraculous and a little unbelievable as Zechariah sat mute. But nothing is impossible with God. And the best way for faith seeking understanding continues to be in this same pattern given to Mary. We are given the doctrines, which may or may not help us. We may or may not be able to comprehend them. But we are also placed within the church. We are pointed by God towards those who bear the same burden. And the response of Mary is also the response of the church. I am the servant of the Lord. That's the response of faith. And when we see that the truth of what is given us comes to pass, that faith is strengthened. When we struggle together, that faith is strengthened. And when that faith is strengthened, maybe even our insight and our understanding deepens a bit. If there have been four ways that God has created humans, there is also a fifth way. The Holy Jesus, born from Mary, was crucified, died, and was buried. And in the normal way of things, this is the end. But on the third day, he rose again from the dead. The resurrection is the recreation, is another new creation. Now, Jesus himself was already a new creation, but all this creation is subject to decay. Death hung over all of it. And I'm not saying this is doctrine, because I don't think I can, but Jesus grew just as all of us. As the carol will have it, for he is our childhood's pattern, day by day. Like us, he grew. But we had no way past death because we are sinful. But Jesus, being holy, did. And submitting himself to death on a cross, death could not hold him. And God created a fifth way to make human. The resurrection of the dead. And all of us found in Christ shall live under his eternal throne. the throne of his father David. We shall live in his eternal house, that house of the Almighty, of flesh and blood, of the resurrection body. Because we have been made a new creation by the power of the blood and by the work of the Holy Spirit. Have faith, like Mary. God is doing a new thing. Let it be to us according to his word. Amen.